Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Everything went according to script, dude, exactly as we predicted.
Yes.
Dude, the Sharks come out and roll the Red Wings in two very close games, but two games where clearly the Sharks were the better team in both games, and we're up 2-0 going into Detroit. As promised, here we are a little more frequently during the playoffs after the first two games, going into game three, which is tomorrow on Wednesday. Dude, the Sharks are in as great a position as you could hope for. Up 2-0 and clearly outplaying the Red Wings.
That's right. It makes last year look less and less like a fluke all the time, right? Because didn't we say coming into the series, we're even up. These teams are very close. They're very even.
And they still are.
And the fact that the Sharks won last year doesn't really make any difference. But now it looks like, okay, well, you know, this is now becoming a trend, right? The Sharks have won 6 out of the last 7 games against Detroit in the playoffs.
Right, 8 out of 10. You know, they've got their number right now. The thing that just is still not quite making you completely comfortable is they appear to be just a goal better.
Like, right.
A goal better.
Mm-hmm.
Not 2 or 3 goals better, but a goal. Enough that, you know, game two, we were flipping out at the end of that game. Detroit's pulled Howard. They're putting the pressure on, and actually, they didn't really get a great shot at the end of that game.
Well, Lidstrom hit the post.
Is that in the last 90 seconds?
Yeah, it was.
Well, I have a short-term memory for bad things. But, you know, all things considered, dude, in terms of how these first two games went, is there anything that you would have wanted to change?
No. I wish that some more of those goals would have gone in. I wish Danny Heatley hit that shot in the net instead of off the post. You wish for a little bit more margin of victory to maybe help our nerves out a little bit, as you said. But a win's a win. A playoff win is any way you can get it is the right way to get it. And, you know, we couldn't be more thrilled with how the Sharks are playing, because it seems like they're playing just as hard as they did last year, and they seem to even have a better, they just seem to be playing better than they did against LA overall.
Oh, no question. And I talked about this before the Detroit series. The thing with LA is there was definitely a game plan here, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a strategy. They were going to do everything you needed to do to stop the Sharks and make life difficult for you. Whereas the Red Wings and the Sharks both have sort of the same philosophy. We're going to play our way, our style, the way that has gotten us to be the number 2 and 3 seed in the playoffs, be two of the best teams in the NHL in the last 6 years, and for the Red Wings, even longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to try and stop us, go ahead. Good luck.
Right.
And when you're fighting fire with fire, right now, the Sharks' flame is a little bit hotter.
Yeah. It is, and but the Wings are adjusting, right? Yeah. There's news coming out today that they're tooling with their top couple of lines.
Okay.
They're going to split up Datsyuk and Zetterberg now. And in response, it seems like Todd McClellan might be tooling with his top two lines, putting Couture on the top line and dropping Marlowe down to the second line.
Yeah, gosh, I'll believe it when I see it, that actually happening.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen for the first shift. I just have to think, if you're Todd McClellan, why would you change anything? Let them react, you know, and see what happens. And then if they go out and house us like they did last year in game four, just completely blitz the Sharks in Detroit, then maybe you talk about making some adjustments. But if you're San Jose, why would you mess around with anything right now? Everything looks good.
Yeah, everything does look pretty sweet. And this is certainly not something I expected when we went into this series. So maybe we should jump in to some emails. Questions at dudesonhockey.com is the email address. Our old pal Dimitri, he said he noticed something. He wrote us after game one. He said shots on goal versus Wings in game one was something like 46-25. Howard is pulling a Quick or Anderson on us. Now, my question is, does it hurt the Sharks to take so many shots on goal, considering that a lot of them were simple shots from far away with no traffic in front, which builds Howard's confidence? Should our players take more time setting better scoring chances instead of just letting it rip from all angles? You have an opinion on this, dude?
Let her rip. Winning. Exhibit A, the Nick Vallien goal.
Yeah.
Exhibit B, the Ben Ferriero goal.
Right.
I mean, both of those are, well, maybe I'm not giving Vallien enough credit, but, you know, Howard would probably like that one back,
right? Of course, of course.
You know, it sort of clanked off his glove. Visions of Auntie Niemi in the first round, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about the Ben Ferriero goal, dude?
Yeah, I mean, that was just, it was fluky off the D, off Brad Stewart, wasn't it? And went into the net.
Yeah, it was pinball wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. It goes in. We saw LA do that to us. You know, a lot of their goals were off of rebounds, crash in the net, garbage goals. You only get those chances by shooting. So I'm all for the approach right now of just letting her rip, because it's working, right, dude?
And also, there's a presupposition here that taking more shots builds Howard's confidence. I don't know if it does or it doesn't, frankly. Do you feel more under pressure if you're taking a lot of shots? Does it build your confidence? I don't know which one it is. I know if he got no work, if he got no shots, then maybe he could, you know, you can fall asleep a little bit. I've heard that said before about goalies, but the difference between 25 and 40 shots, I don't see how that is the difference between a normal load and massive confidence.
The more shots you take, the harder you're making the other team's D work in controlling the rebounds and in controlling the forwards. And I think what the knock's been on the Sharks in the past is, you know, making that one pass too many, looking for the perfect shot.
Yeah.
And they've, you know, played their way out of those types of games. You know, we had a good laugh at Joe's expense in the LA series where he was doing the Tour de France around the ice and then got right in front of Quick and didn't shoot it and then went back behind the net. I remember a very similar play against Detroit this last week, and he fired it right in his face, you know?
Right, just jam it in there.
Yeah, just any way you can, try and get it to go in. The crowd's been getting on Howard. The Sharks have been getting on Howard with a little snow shower.
I was just about to say, more shots means more opportunities to snow Howard.
What's your take on this, dude, in terms of the effect it's having on Jimmy Howard, the effect it's having on the Detroit Red Wings, on whether it's going to continue the rest of the series?
I don't think it's going to continue. There were at least one or two times where Joe Pavelski and Joe Thornton stopped in front of Howard near the end of game two, and they didn't shower Howard, and they sort of looked to the referee for approval after that, because clearly they had been warned, right? And as much as we might think that's a cheesy penalty, it is technically could be an unsportsmanlike situation.
Sure.
If you do it over and over and over and over again.
Which they were.
Which they were. Which I hardly approve of.
Well, it got in his head.
Yeah, I think he was rattled. I think he was rattled, especially at that time. Joe Pavelski snowed him, and then all of a sudden Howard kind of flips out and punches him, and they both go to the box. That's a victory for the Sharks in that situation. You don't want the goalie having to fight his own battles, worrying about having other players in his face. That's the defense job, right? And so my response to, oh, they're snowing him. Okay, get your defense to keep those guys out of the crease, and then he won't get snowed. It's just that simple. I mean, maybe it's unsportsmanlike, and I'll grant you that, but you don't want players in the crease? Then keep them out of the crease. It's not Howard's fault that
they're
in the crease.
But this is the ultimate role reversal, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
For the Sharks and Red Wings, the Red Wings have been the big brother and the bully on the block, and now we're completely in their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sharks snowing their goalie and there being no real response other than Howard throwing a sissy fit and slashing Joe.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, that's good stuff. That's good times, dude.
That's right.
And will it continue? Probably not. I could definitely see there being an instance of it in game three and there being a pretty quick penalty. I mean, that wouldn't be too surprising, but you got to think that the Sharks are aware of that, right?
Yeah, they're aware. And I think, like I said, that both Pavelski and Thornton didn't deliberately snow Quick, but that certainly didn't stop them from stopping right in front of him in case the puck dropped there. And I think Tom McClellan may have made a comment today to the exactly the same point. If the puck's there and nobody else is there, that's where we're going.
Yeah, we're going to the blue paint. Like that, they have every right to try and get the puck.
Absolutely.
And if they have to stop and not run into the goalie and there's a little bit of snow shower, then so be it. I'm going to call and go, so that definitely wasn't an intentional strategy on our part.
Maybe the players took it upon themselves to sort of do that.
Well, there's no doubt that either if it didn't come from the coaching staff, it was a captain's choice, shall we say.
Right.
And it was a great move. It really got under Howard's skin. And, you know, Howard's played way better than I think we both anticipated in these first two games. He's made some big saves, but, you know, we do expect him to allow a goal like he did to Nick Vallien in game two.
That's right.
That clunker, that bad goal. And it's happened, and it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to let in a bad goal every now and then, as do most goalies, as does Antti Niemi.
Right.
But so far in the first two games, Niemi's been
really
nothing short of outstanding, yes, really.
Absolutely good. And he almost got the new patented goalie steal stat. I think he had 33 or 34 saves. So very, very close to the steal. Not quite there yet. You can always aim higher in game three. So, but yeah, I think that the Sharks versus Howard is one of the most important matchups of this series so far. And that's just something I think the Wings aren't used to dealing with. I mean, the Sharks are bigger in the corners. You know, a lot of commentators have talked about the success of the cycle, which I think is a big part. But just going to the crease and, you know, pissing Howard off. I love that strategy. It's not the one you've seen the Sharks do very much in the past couple of years. It's nice to sort of be on the other side of the aggression at one point, because this isn't a dirty play. This isn't, you know, cross-checking someone in the back of the head. I mean, this is getting in someone's face, trying to gain that edge. And the Sharks haven't tried to do that very often in the past few years. So I love it. I'm very happy for it. I hope they don't take a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But you know what? If they took one of those in game three, I wouldn't be that upset about it, right? I mean, there's been a couple of pretty bad penalties, really, frankly, stupid penalties on both sides of the coin here in the series so far. Tomas Holmstrom took a really dumb one. Ryan Kloh. We saw Ben Eager take a couple that were probably pretty bad.
Back to back.
So, you know, I mean, it's been sort of par for the course, some ill-advised penalties so far. And if that was another one, that would be the kind of that I wouldn't necessarily, you know, jump to condemn, because that's the kind of thing I think the Sharks need to keep doing.
The continued gamesmanship, we talked about the chess match, as it was referred to on ESPN.com today, in terms of the coaches adjusting their line and McClellan responding, and, you know, will it really be that way tomorrow night? Is Chris Draper going to play? It seems by all accounts he may now play. I'm guessing he's going to be in for Patrick Eaves, just based on the fact that Eaves is playing the least amount of ice time. Although it could be Drew Miller, you would think that Abdelkader is pretty safe.
I think so.
In the lineup there, will they go with Mike Modano? You know, if I were them, I would put Modano out there. He's a Shark killer. He's been a Shark killer his whole career.
Right.
You know, you're already getting nothing from Eaves and Drew Miller. You know, you may as well go Draper Modano and see what happens. I mean, Modano, he wants to play, and I think it's a mistake if they don't play him, frankly. At least give him a shot. And
yeah, Modano over Drew Miller. When you think of it like that, it's why not Modano? I don't really understand. I mean, Drew Miller's been on waivers from like four different teams. I mean, it's to his credit that he's been able to get picked up and stay on other teams, because that's usually sort of the kiss of death when you get waived that many times. But he's managed to hook up again with Wings, another good team. But I'm with you. I don't see why Modano doesn't play. Maybe there's some sort of health issue, a nagging health issue that we don't
know
about.
He claims he's 100% and that he's worked really hard to get back to being in game shape, and they're not playing him. So he says he understands, but he's frustrated. At least that's the quote I read today. So we'll see. I say good. Sit him on the bench, dude. Let him not play.
I'd much rather face Drew Miller.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, dude. In terms of the Sharks lineup changes, the only one that I can think that could potentially happen is that maybe Ben Eager is not going to play anymore. He sort of lost it against Todd Bertuzzi. You've got to know better against Bertuzzi, just for the simple fact that he's not going to drop.
No, there's no way he's going to drop. I mean, you don't drop against Bertuzzi unless he drops first. It's just that simple. Because you right up until the point where he drops the gloves, you got to be thinking, there's no way this guy's going
to
go.
I'm going to go back to our childhood and call him a weenus. Todd Bertuzzi is a weenus. Okay? The guy is a classic weenus, dude.
Yes.
Don't like him. No one likes him.
Right.
And...
It's a lot of unrepeatable comments thrown from the stands towards Todd Bertuzzi.
Oh God, everybody hates the guy. And Ben Eager completely lost it and ends up in the Red Wings bench.
Right.
We're lucky that he didn't take a roughing and get a misconduct on that.
Yeah.
He just got the 10. And I would imagine that it's possible that Ben Eager is not going to be in the lineup anymore, and that he may go back to Jamal Mares here and hope that Mares can still have that presence, but maybe not lose his
right.
his mind.
Dude, I'm just saying, Mares goes out a couple games, Osama bin Laden dead. Just one of those things. Was it Mares? I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying
he was. Are you implying that Jamal Mares killed Osama bin Laden?
I'm not going to come right out and say it. I'm just saying it's possible. That's all. Could be. He was out of the lineup. Good news yesterday. He might be back in the lineup tomorrow. Mission accomplished. Need I say more?
Dude, I have to say that of all my years on the podcast, that is absolutely the smartest thing you've ever said.
I knew it.
I think you could be right.
I think I'm right too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
we've broken it right here on Dudes on Hockey, dude.
Oh my, we've taken a severe detour.
But no, I'm with you. I think Mayer should be back in the lineup. I'm not sure what he did exactly to make him be the scratch as opposed to Ben Eager. Clearly they want Scott Nickel because of his penalty killing ability, his defensive ability. We saw him out on the ice, 6-on-5, late in the game with an empty net against Detroit in game 2. That's what Scott Nickel's in the lineup for. And Mayer's /Ferriero/McGinn... all those guys.
I like Ben Eager better. I think Ben Eager, when his head's on right, is a better player than all those guys. And he has the ability to score. He has Stanley Cup experience. I want it to be him. Mm-hmm. It's just he hasn't demonstrated in the first,
right,
you know, 8 playoff games that he's going to be able to be that guy. He was pretty dreadful against LA, but so were all of those guys.
Right.
And now... In game 2, I think he was trying to do the right thing, but you got to know that Bertuzzi's not going to reciprocate,
right,
and give you the satisfaction of dropping the gloves. Not going to do it.
Right. And neither is Holmes for him.
No.
It's just you got to understand where those guys are coming from. Those guys are big guys that you think they're going to fight, but their job basically is to be a real pain and to see if you can get somebody else to take a dumb penalty.
So Eager needs to take on that same role and not get goaded into penalty. So I'm thinking game 3, no Ben Eager. I think it's going to be Jamal Mares. And
could they go McGinn and Ferriero?
No. I think McGinn has lost his playing privileges when he took that 5-minute major penalty.
Right.
And
even
3
minutes left in the game.
Even though we agree it wasn't, that was a very questionable
call,
especially for a major, that, you know, McGinn seemed to be a little bit too enthusiastic at the end of the game there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm not sure what he was doing out on the ice at that point. You know, McClellan's been pretty conservative in terms of using those guys, the fourth line, but game 3 is the most important game here.
Right.
You can either let Detroit back in or you can give them blatant deja vu. It's like Bill Murray, like hanging around the Joe Louis going, it's my movie. You've seen it. The alarm clock's going off.
Right.
And in 4 days, you guys are going to be out.
Yeah.
Let's make it Groundhog Day. Let's get them out, dude.
My opinion is always that game 4 is the most important game in the series because generally, unless it's a sweep, it's either 3-1 or 2-2. I'm sticking with that. I think game 4 is the most important game here. If the Sharks win game 3, then game 4 becomes a whole lot less important. But I still think game 4 is the most important one for the Sharks so far. Is there
any doubt in your mind that Detroit's going to win one of these two?
I think they are, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm deathly afraid of them going on a 2-game winning streak and coming back game 5 even up. That's the last thing I want. And of course, I'm with you. I'd rather the Sharks win game three because then there's a little bit of breathing room there and the possibility for the sweep still exists. But if I could choose the Sharks to win only one of those two games, I would choose game four, I think, because then the Sharks will win in Detroit and then close it out again at home, fighting off the adversity again. So, but of course, I'd be sweating bullets when it's 2-1 after game three. So I don't know which one I would rather. Would you rather have them just win game three and just basically like crush them as much as possible?
Well, we saw the formula that worked last year. Win game three, get housed in game four, and come back and win game five. I mean, that's fine with me. I don't really care how it happens, dude. I feel like we should all expect that the Sharks are going to lose one of these two games because Detroit is just too good to get swept.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just would be unrealistic, I think, to have that expectation. All I want is for the boys to play well. If they lose, they have it not be 6-1. Have it be, you know, 3-2 or whatever. Just be in the game, be in the conversation, be in their heads, and give it a full effort. You know, they're not going to take a night off. I just don't see it's going to happen. But is it possible that Niemi is going to lay an egg here in one of these two games?
I think it's possible, but I disagree with what you just said. I think Detroit dropped some games they should have won down the stretch and gave up the number two seed. It was theirs for the taking, and they dropped it to the Sharks.
Uh-huh.
So I think Detroit is very capable of dropping a game that they shouldn't have, and I'd love to see it in game three or four. I certainly won't be betting any money on it.
Right.
But certainly over the way that they've played over the past couple months, they've lost some very winnable games that would have, you know, cemented a better playoff seeding than they got.
How amazing would this be, dude, if the Sharks are able to knock the Red Wings out of the playoffs for a second consecutive year? Will the story now be the Red Wings are washed up? Is that going to be the story if this happens? That's what everyone's going to be talking about, dude. It was break up the Sharks. Mm-hmm. And if the Sharks pull this off, and it's still a big if, we know Detroit could win four in a row and knock us out. It's very possible. But if the things continue to play out and history repeats itself, are people going to be saying, break up the Wings? Let's not talk about it yet. Let's save it for the end of the series. We'll ask Chris when he's sitting here repeating some of the dumb lines we wrote for him.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the Sharks to win, but I want Wings fan in Sharks land to be sitting here one more time. That's really what I want.
That'll just really make it worth it.
Ooh, yeah. Tasty.
I'm already thinking of things we can have him say.
Don't jump the gun, dude.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right, dude. Well, exciting.
Let's touch on the other series real quick.
Oh, dude, I was ready to wrap up.
Oh, okay. Well, we're still early.
Is there
here.
Time?
Yeah.
You've got time?
A couple minutes.
You said you had your Elton John fan club meeting.
I put that off to tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. So those guys downstairs, we can send them home?
Yeah. You know, glasses? Actually, well, they're staying for dinner. They'll be fine. They're not too creepy.
You making quiche?
Well, yeah, actually I did. I made the little mini quiches for appetizers.
Delightful. I'll be staying for dinner.
So how surprised are you at Philly being down 2-0 to Boston here?
Pretty surprised.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. I know you took Boston and seemed pretty confident about that. I thought, you know, especially at home, the Flyers were going to win at least one of those games. Not good, you know.
Flyers are pretty well cooked, in my opinion. If they can't win one of the first two games at home, that is really tough. I think that the odds are an extreme favor that Boston's going to get at least one of the next two games.
Yeah, they've overcome adversity a few times, though, the last 2 years in the playoffs, and I wouldn't count them out just yet, but it certainly doesn't look good, and their lack of stable goaltending is really biting them. I would say they'd be wishing for Nabokov, but he just got pulled in the hockey worlds by Russia. So the draft pick value on Nabokov is going down every day for the Islanders. They may get a sixth rounder for him.
It's true.
How about the Tampa Bay Washington series, dude, where you know that I have a little cash money on the Lightning.
I know.
And how surprised are you that they're up 2-0 on the Caps?
Not very. I'm really not.
Really?
Yeah. I still wonder about the composition of the Washington Capitals when it comes to deep run playoffs, because we've seen a lot of grit from the Sharks this season. We see a lot of toughness. We see a lot of face washing and so forth. And they have some players in that mold in Washington. Well, you know, Dave Steckel's gone, but, you know, Schultz and some other guys, that are good, but I don't think like the core of their team is really like that. And I wonder if they can, you know, put up in the face of adversity. You mentioned that they just crushed Tampa Bay during the regular season. I think, you know, LeCavalier's really come up big. San Luis come up big. I mean, those are the guys who have some serious playoff success. We can ask Dan Boyle about that.
And you've got the game stealer, the ageless,
yes,
Rolison.
That's right.
Who's, you know, just completely frustrating the Capitals. And he did the same thing to the Penguins at the end of that series. I really like Tampa Bay going forward here, and they could close this out in five, dude.
I mean, it could happen.
It could. The thing that makes me a little bit wary is the fact that, you know, Kabina and Gagne are still out, and long-term for an entire series, that's gonna, if you're starting to lean on guys who are not really built for that many minutes, you know, that could frustrate you, but, you know, is this a ratings nightmare, a Boston-Tampa Bay Eastern Conference final?
No, I mean, Boston's a big market, so yeah, I think Boston
Tampa
will
Bay
do
is
fun.
In there. That's bad news for...
It's true. I mean, Boston...
For the networks, Boston, who cares what they think, right? But...
Boston-Washington would be bigger, of course.
Sure.
But I think Boston is what they want. I mean, they can't go that far wrong because it's going to be either Philly or Boston, and both those teams have a lot of support, so... You know, I think it's going to be fine. I think the real nightmare would be the Tampa Bay San Jose Stanley Cup final.
That's my dream. Because then I win and I win.
Yeah, you win either way.
I win either way.
But I think in terms of a ratings nightmare, people would just hate that. But
that would be the worst. I take it back. Nashville Tampa Bay would be definitely the worst Stanley Cup you could ever hope for.
Yeah,
speaking
true.
Of the Preds, they were managed. Well, let me take it back. Pecorine managed to win a game.
Yes.
In Vancouver, they go back to Nashville in a fantastic situation. 1-1. Do you think that's the one game we thought the Preds might win, or do you think they've got a little bit more frustration in them?
I think they got plenty of frustration in them. I mean, this is a team that we've underestimated all year, to be honest. And I'm going to continue to underestimate them, I'm sure. I don't think they're going to win the series, but now I think it could easily go six or seven games. I think Nashville has shown that they can, I mean, winning in Vancouver, I mean, this is a great home ice team. And for Nashville to come in there and beat a team after they couldn't put up any offense at all in game one, you know, that's to their credit. So I'd love to see this game go as long as possible. It's also because I want to see the series go long. I want Vancouver or whoever come out of that to be as tired as possible, hopefully for the Sharks. So that's what I'm hoping for. You think it's going to go long, or you think Vancouver's just going to sort of pick themselves off, dust themselves off, and just beat the crap out of them? It's impossible to tell with this team.
Yeah, it's so impossible to tell. I think that my gut tells me that they got their one win, and that Vancouver on the road is going to feel a little less pressure, mm-hmm. and that they're going to kind of blitz them, you know, these next two games, that they'll beat them. Although Nashville's kind of fast and loose, right? You know, what do they have to lose? Nothing. No one expects them to do anything. So we'll see, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, dude. Well, it's been a good podcast. I'm really looking forward to game three. Tomorrow we're going to be in the chat again. Are you going to be in the chat again, dude?
I suppose.
Are you going to punk out like you did last time?
Dude, I didn't punk out.
Dude, someone punked out.
Dude, I didn't see you at the first chat, dude.
Well, dude, I knew that I wasn't going to be there.
Oh.
I said way ahead of time. And this time, oh, yeah, I'll be there, dude.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there for like
it?
10 seconds.
That's not true at
all. You made like two crass remarks and left.
Oh, dude, now you are completely short-selling me. You are a liar.
Dude?
Liar! Liar!
Dude, that means you're going to be in the chat for game three, I hope.
Maybe.
Okay, great. That's as much of a commitment as I can get. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back again, who knows when.
Probably this weekend before game five.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think after game four, we'll be around.
If there is a game five, dude.
I hope, yes.
Let's hope not.
We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.